House Special Committee on Fisheries will come to order. The time is 10:06 on Thursday, February 6th. Members present are Representative Tarr, Representative Kopp, Representative Newman, and myself, Chair Stutz. As usual, I'm going to give you the friendly reminder to turn your cell phones off or put them on silence, and I'm going to ask you not to approach the committee table if you need to get a hold of any one of us up here. My committee aide, Matt Greening, would be more than happy to give you a hand with it. I'd like to thank Jordan Mayer, our committee secretary, and Brett Collins from the Juno LIO for our teleconferencing support. And we do have a quorum to conduct business, so we will get to it right away. Up first, we have House Bill 185. We heard the bill earlier in the week and took committee questions. Today, we'll take public testimony, consider amendments, and look to the will of the committee. And our office received no amendments other than our own. So with that, before we go into public testimony, do we have anything from this committee? Welcome, Speaker Edgemond. We have nothing, so I will open up this for public testimony. And is there anyone here in the audience that would like to testify at House Bill 185? Seeing none. Let's see. Questions? Testimony. Oh, this is on the next one.
He says he thinks there is one person.
Okay. Oh, okay. Richard Davis, you knew who you were. I just didn't know who you were. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
I'm Richard Davis. I live in Juneau, and I'm affiliated with Seafood Producers Cooperative.
Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the House Fisheries Committee. I'm a member of Fishermen's Cooperative that has 500 Alaska commercial fishermen owners. We were formed in 1945, and we are the largest and longest surviving fishermen's cooperative in North America. I'm a 43-year member of that association myself, and it's been continuous as a commercial fisherman boat owner. And on behalf of these members, over 200 of which are documented vessel owners, we expressly thank the sponsor of this piece of legislation, House Bill 185, and encourage the passage of this piece of legislation and support any of the lawmakers in the Capitol building who will assist in its passage. And that briefly is our testimony, and we are sorry that we didn't get written testimony in here on time, but our association supports the effort. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from this committee? Seeing none. Oh, Representative Kopp? Oh, okay. Seeing none, we thank you for taking your time to come up and testify on this. Anyone else would like to testify on this? Oh, we do have one individual from the Association of Harbor Masters, Rachel Lord, online. Rachel?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee, and thank you for taking public testimony today on House Bill 185. My name is Rachel Lord, and I'm the Executive Secretary for the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators. Since the late 70s, the AAHPA has worked to connect harbor masters and port directors, port and harbor staff, engineers, fabricators, and others from the marine support industries around Alaska's working waterfronts to support and improve our port and harbor facilities to the benefit of every fleet, utilizing our coastal waters and the state's economy and commerce as a whole. Currently, we represent 42 ports and harbors around the state and over 60 companies from related support industries. From 2014 to 2016, I was also the facilitator of the statewide ad hoc derelict vessel task force, working with local, state, federal, and private stakeholders to address the issue of derelict vessels in Alaska's public waters. The task force's work was the underpinning of Senate Bill 92. The AAHPA membership and board of directors passed a resolution at our annual meeting last October supporting automatic registration of CFEC vessels with the DMV. While we don't oppose House Bill 185, we still believe it is most prudent and reasonable to reduce bureaucratic burden while still maintaining a single database of vessel ownership at the DMV for vessels operating primarily in Alaskan waters, not unlike our boat trailers and vehicles, whether they be commercial or recreational, on public roads. If you own and operate a commercial vehicle, for example, you are required to have an additional commercial permit. That does not, however, exempt you from the state's DMV registration requirements. Every working vessel will one day see an end of its useful life, just like our cars and trucks. In an effort to balance that reality with the desire to reasonably reduce paperwork and burden, we believe it is most prudent for the state to provide for automatic DMV registration when applying for a CFEC permit. Thank you for your dedication to Alaska's fisheries and our state's working waterfronts.
Thank you, Rachel. Are there any questions from this committee? Seeing none. Rachel, thank you for calling in and for your testimony. Are there others that would like to testify? Seeing no other online and seeing none in the room, I will close public testimony. And with that, I would like to consider and discuss our amendment number one.
Madam Chair, I move amendment number one.
And I will object for discussion. If you would come forward, Mr. Greening, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, Matt Greening, staff to Rep. Stutes and the House Fisheries Committee. This amendment clarifies that if you're an undocumented CFEC registered vessel, while you're exempt from registration at the DMV, you're still required to title with the DMV. It was never our intention to exempt those vessels from titling, only registration. Requiring a DMV title and CFEC registration or U.S. Coast Guard documentation and CFEC registration to be exempt from DMV registration makes logical sense. Having the CFEC be the only agency responsible for tracking the smaller undocumented vessels seemed like it was going a little far. The title, for members' reference, is a one-time fee of $20. And I'd like to explain briefly where the amendment makes the change, because it doesn't actually make it to our bill. It makes it to Senate Bill 92. And for members and those watching at home, I would point to Senate Bill 92, which is a members' packets on basis, page 3, line 10. And I'll wait for a moment for people to get there. Because line 10 states that an undocumented boat subject to registration under 055-255-55 shall apply for a title, and our exemption in the bill is 055-255-55, the reference inadvertently removed the requirement to title from SB 92 for undocumented CFEC registered vessels. That wasn't our intent. So adding the wording or exempt from registration under AS 05250557 clarifies that while those vessels are exempt from DMV registration, they'll still continue to title through that agency. And that's all the amendment does.
Thank you.
Happy to answer any questions.
Do we have any questions from this committee? Seeing none, I will remove my objection. Are there other objections? Hearing no objections, I think this is a good move. It removes a duplicative registration requirement on commercial fishing vessels. The amendment strengthens the bill for tracking undocumented CFEC vessels and streamlines preparations for the fishing season while still collecting the data we need on vessel ownership and database. Do you have something, Matt?
I believe we need to clarify that the amendment was adopted because the objection.
Oh, good call. Thank you. The amendment will be adopted, being there were no objections. Thank you for that. And with that, having had my say, I would...
Madam Chair, if it's the will of yourself and the committee, I would move to report House Bill 185, LS1250/M, out of committee as amended, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Seeing no objections, we will, HB 185 is moved from committee, and with that, we will take up briefities. Up next, we have House Bill 218, Saltwater Fishing Operators Guides by the House Rules at the request of the governor. Here to present the bill is online is Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang of the Department of Fish and Game, and in room for backup is Rachel Hanke, legislative liaison with the Department of Fish and Game. I will ask that we hold our questions until the end of the presentation just for the sake of time. So with that, we also have Dave Rutz, Director of Division of Sport Fish, available online. I'm looking to make sure. Tom Taube, Deputy Director, Division of Sport Fish, online. Aaron Peterson, Assistant AG for the Department of Law. And Dana Mackey, Administrative Service Director for the Office of Management and Budget. So with that, committee members, I'll ask you again to hold your questions till after the presentation. And with that, please identify yourself and begin your presentation.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Doug Vincent Lang, and I am the Commissioner for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. First, thank you for the opportunity to break away from halibut discussions and negotiations for a few minutes to speak with you regarding HB 218, the halibut. This is a nice break from those halibut discussions, which are pretty important to the state. This bill would reinstitute the saltwater sport fishing guide and operator licensing standards, saltwater guide and operator fees, and logbook reporting requirements for saltwater guides. The logbook data provided by saltwater fishing guide provides critical information that informs in-season management. The Board of Fisheries management plans also benefit from updated and complete information. The data obtained through the logbook reporting requirement is critical for the Department of Fish and Game to successfully uphold its obligations under the Pacific Salmon Treaty as well as the International Pacific Halibut Commission obligation treaties. Under the treaty, the state is required to issue logbooks and collect data. However, the mandate is unfunded. This bill would reestablish licensees for sport saltwater fishing guide services to cover the costs of the mandated program. This program was in existence in the past, but it was a saltwater and freshwater program. There was a lot of controversy associated with the freshwater piece of it, which is not included in this bill and which was stopped by the department. This one only focuses on the saltwater piece of it for which we have treaty obligations to move forward. And with that, thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Do we have any questions? Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, can you review for the committee what the concerns were over the freshwater guide licensing logbook, what those were, and why we've chosen a new course? Thank you.
Through the chair, the main questions that we got were we were requiring freshwater guides to license with the state, and we were requiring them to fill out a logbook program for across the entire state for fisheries that we didn't need the management information in season. For instance, grayling in Bristol Bay and grayling in the interior parts of Alaska. We weren't using that information for in-season management purposes. And there was a lot of questions as to why we were requiring the collection of that information when it wasn't being used and was actually duplicative of the statewide harvest survey that we were collecting. So in the areas where we clearly needed freshwater information, we have krill survey programs in place in freshwater for those, and we eliminated the more statewide requirement to deal with logbook reporting in those systems.
Thank you.
Commissioner, was this bill allowed to sunset due to its connection with the freshwater logbooks? Were they both one and the same? Is that why it sunsetted?
Yeah, through the chair, when this bill was when the sunset came up and it needed to be renewed, the freshwater piece of it became very controversial, and rather than amend the bill at the end, it just simply sunsetted and died off. There wasn't really a lot of concern at that point in time with the saltwater piece, but the freshwater piece drug the whole thing down.
Thank you. Other questions? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Welcome, Commissioner and Director Rutz. Doug, how would this bill affect private boat owners who rent or lease their boat for recreational sport fishing?
Through the chair. There's a very defined definition of what a guide is, and that's accompanying an individual, so it is not covering the rental boat sector.
Follow up.
Follow-up, Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, so a lodge owner also, because if it's part of their business and they lease out a room in their lodge, it may come with a boat, or you could pay additional fees for the use of that lodge boat. How would it affect those owners?
Again, through the chair, and I'll use a lifeline here with Dave. They can maybe follow up on my answer. But my understanding is that as long as the guide is not present on that boat actually directing the activities of that client, they are not covered under this program.
Okay. Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to make sure we had some clarification on the record for the people who do own those businesses and stuff, or legislators or other people who might be listening in to make sure that they know what's going on here. And if I could follow up on Representative Kopp's questioning on the guide logbooks. This produces the one for saltwater, but in your describing in your introduction on the bill, it says that you're basically doing it because you need to do it because the federal government says you have to do it. And your bottom, in your paragraph and why we need this. So how will you use this data that you're collecting? And we'll just use Cook Inlet because, again, it's 8 of 16 tributaries of stocks of concern in there. And we're getting rid of the weirs in pretty much all of the state for in-season management tools. Although you stated in here in your opening paragraph how important that information is to help the department. How will you use this guide logbook to help areas like that with in-season management where we currently don't have any in-season management left?
Well, through the chair, Representative Newman, we'll be able to have an accurate accounting of saltwater harvest that's guided through this program. So for King Harvest, we would know the saltwater component of the King Harvest. We would not know the freshwater component of that harvest. And to the extent that we need to do that, we will look at alternative mechanisms to doing that.
Thank you. Just one more.
Freshwater.
One more, Commissioner. Do you feel that you can keep these logbooks up to date so that it is actual real-time management?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, in Southeast Alaska, we already have that program run into an electronic format. Right now, we're having 5 to 10% compliance with electronic, but it's our intent to basically make those saltwater logbooks electronic to the extent possible, recognizing there are communities that's and lodge operations that are so remote that that's not possible, but try to get as much information collected electronically to make it more timely for in-season management. But currently that information is being processed in season to inform management decisions in season.
Yeah.
In saltwater.
So how long is the lag on the information like this? So that you get it, you get the information, is it within days or is it within months or half a year?
Probably a week and a half, Representative Newman.
Thank you, ma'am.
We get the logbooks back. They have to mail them in weekly. It takes us about 3 to 4 or 5 days, I think, to process them, and then that informs it. And in Southeast Alaska, that's sufficient to be able to meet our treaty obligations. But again, we're looking for ways to speed that process up, because if we can get in an electronic format, then we're not having to do the data entry associated with it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And forgive me, I see also we have Commissioner Dale Kelly online for questions as well. She is commissioner with the CFEC. Do we have other questions? Seeing no other questions, and do we thank you, Commissioner. We appreciate you taking your time out from halibut politics to join us here. Do we have any questions for Ms. Hanke? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Welcome, Rachel. That's a fairly easy one. I'm going to assume that that's okay. We'll just ask him in private. We might get
okay, you're off the hook, Ms. Hanke. Thank you. Thank you both, and I thank you for your presentation, and we will set this bill aside and bring it back at a future date for public testimony. There's no Fisheries Committee Tuesday to make room for the Fish and Game Budget Subcommittee. We will announce Thursday's schedule at a later time. Is there anything else to come before this committee? Thank you all. Seeing none, I will adjourn this meeting at 11:28.